Right, now, like I said, we're just going to ignore the coronavirus, and we're just going to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 10, and we're going to talk about some more of the life of David. Now, I've skipped over Mephibosheth, but we may come back to that. But here in chapter 10, we have a few lessons to learn this morning. Let's read verses 1 through 7. I've got another verse I want to read, but I'll read it after. I thought about reading it first, but we'll read it after we get done. Verse 1, and it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanan his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will shew kindness unto Hanan the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said to Haman their lord, Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? Wherefore Hanan took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards, and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. And when they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, Tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Maacah 1,000 men, and of Ishtob 12,000 men. So they had to hire 33,000 men to help them. They run their mouth and did something, and now they're afraid. And when David heard it, he sent to Joab and all the host of the mighty men. He sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. All right, we'll just stop right there. Now, Psalm 109 says, They have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. There's 6 times the Bible says that. They rewarded me evil for good. 5 times it's David in the Psalms and in the beginning there. So that's what happened here. David only had in his heart to do kindness to this man. There wasn't any double motive in his mind or in his heart to spy on them or to take their land from them. What did he want their land for? What did he want anything from them for? He had no personal gain or interest in it. He was just going to return kindness to this man because his father had been kind to him. He just wanted to show the boy that from now on, I mean, your dad's gone, but we can just keep things like they were. Ain't gonna be no trouble as far as I'm concerned. You're my friend as far as I'm concerned. Now these were people, though, I mean, you gotta consider, and I want you to get the message this morning. I'm gonna try to hurry and make it short here and keep it compact, but listen, these were people who were barred from the congregation of Israel for 10 generations. Deuteronomy 23, verse 3, An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. I mean, it's going to be this way forever. These people are not welcome. Now, why would God do that? If there wasn't something about these people that you ought to keep your distance from. Yeah. That's right.
Yes.
Well, that ain't Christian. Oh, yeah, it is. You just listen to me. I hope you'll understand. This man who had showed kindness to David hadn't been such a nice guy before either. David wasn't being kind to him because he's such a good guy. David was just being kind to him because that's David. I mean, we've been on David for months now, and you ought to get to know him. You ought to know him pretty good by now.
Yeah.
You ought to have some understanding about his character, his attitude, his disposition with everybody, and what he was really about. In 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2, this same Nahash, you remember this deal? Nahash the Ammonite answered them, "On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon Israel." They came up against Israel, Nahash with his Ammonites, when Saul was the king. Saul hadn't been king too long. This was one of the things that Saul did right. He really acted like a king one time, and this was it. Nahash, this man, this Haman's father, the one that was kind to David, he is the one that come up against him and threatened him and said, "Surrender or we're going to get you." And they said, "Well, tell us what to do." And he said, "I'll thrust out all your right eyes, so it'll be a reproach on Israel forever." How about that? So they went and told Saul, and Saul, that's when Saul cut up the ox and sent it all over the country and said, "If anybody don't follow me, you're going to be just like that." And that Saul went down there and they got a thrashing. And so Nahash was kind to David, because he's more afraid of David than he was Saul. Because this years have passed. Saul's gone. David's the king. David has prevailed. David's always won. He always won. And so he's a little bit afraid of him. And that's the way people like this are. They'll be nice to you if they're afraid of you. And if they ain't afraid of you, they're going to plow you under. That's the kind of people we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
I want you to understand this. This is how this applies now in our lives. There's some people that if you're going to show kindness to them, you better do it in a wise way, or else it's going to cost. This deal here turned out real bad. This is one of the very few things that Saul acted like a king when he went to war with them. But it wasn't because he was a good man that he was nice to David or kind to David or showed kindness to David. He was much more afraid of David than he was Saul. Nevertheless, despite all of that, David knew all that. I mean, he wasn't a dummy. He wasn't blind. He wasn't ignorant about the situation or these people or what kind of people they were. In spite of it all, he wanted to show some kindness. That's what's on his mind now. The chapter before, chapter 9, was about Mephibosheth. Is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show kindness to him for Jonathan's sake? David's established king. Now he's really doing what he really wants to do. Try to show some kindness. Make the world a better place. Instead of fighting all the time and having wars all the time. And so he tries to be nice to these people and it starts a war. You try to be nice to some people, and all you're going to do is just stir up a hornet's nest. There's times when you better just not. Or do it in a way other than the way David did it here. Kind of getting ahead of myself here. It would have worked fine had it not been for some evil thinking sons of the devil who had nothing in their hearts but hatred and suspicion for everybody else. They just suspected everybody of being just like them. Now there's a lot of terrible things about sin, but one of the most ugly things about it is how it affects the way people think of other people. It makes you distrust other people. It makes you suspicious of other people. It makes you question everybody's motives about everything. That's what sin does. Get that. That's not a godly attitude. That's an ungodly attitude. That's a trait of the sinner, not the saint.
Amen. Yep.
Sin so perverts the mind that it cannot recognize kindness and goodness anywhere. Can't even recognize it. Can't even say, "Now that wasn't that nice? Ain't that something? Ain't that a blessing? Ain't that good? Hey, wasn't that kind to them? Wonder what they want. Wonder what they're up to. I know what there's got to be some reason. They ain't going to do that if they ain't got..." That's the sinner's thinking, not the saints. Sin gradually takes over the reins of the mind so that it can only think evil of everyone else and cannot see good in anyone. You ever know anybody like that? I know a lot of people like that. They can't see any good in anybody. It's always evil. Always evil. That's the way of a sinner. See, I talked last month about the Psalm 1. That's the way of the sinner. That's the way they are. One of sin's evil powers is to convince the mind that all men are always evil. Now, you've been in Baptist churches all your life. What have you heard in church so much? Mm-hmm. Better stop and look at that a little bit. About just thinking we're all evil and we're all sinners and we can't do any good and no, but nothing we do, everything we do good is just filthy rags. And that kind of a mindset about the whole thing is warped and perverted from what the Bible means when it tells us those things. Right. If we just think evil of everybody all the time and even of ourselves,
right,
we ain't going nowhere but... And it ain't going to cause nothing but evil, because that's all we got. We're working with is everything's evil. We're all evil. Everything's bad. Nothing's right. Everybody's rotten and mean and hateful, and they might act nice, but they got some motive in there somewhere where they're up to something. Better watch them.
That's right.
These are the kind of people that caused this big mess here. This is the way of sinners. Ungodly, lost, spiritually blind souls. God's way is contrasted to that. There's a big contrast. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Charity, speaking of charity, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Does anybody know what the next three words are? Thinketh no evil. Now, I've been thinking of a message about that for months and months. That's a whole lot more than speaketh no evil. Charity thinketh no evil.
Right.
It just ain't there.
Yeah.
Right.
Real love. And if you don't have charity, you don't have nothing. You can't have none.
That's right.
Now by the faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is
charity,
not faith. Charity. And if you can give your body to be burned, but it profits you nothing if you don't have charity. And charity thinketh no evil. Well, I have charity, but I'm telling you, them people are... Now, wait a minute. Now, yeah. A mind that is under the dominion of sin will not be able to comprehend that there are actually people who do not think like he does. You just can't believe there's anybody different than me. I mean, everybody's just like me. No, they're not. No, they're not. People are different. This old deal of all men are created equal is such a lie that everybody has swallowed. It is not true. They're not all created equal. Our souls are of equal value to God as far as that is, but men are not the same. There's some that are way down on the scale of good and evil, and there's some that are way up the scale. God calls them sinners and saints. The world's mixed them all together now, and the churches have too. But there's two different kinds of people in the world. There's God's real people that have been born again, made new creatures in Christ. They're different than the sinners of the world. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Such were some of you, but you're washed, you're cleansed. I mean, you're made new.
Amen.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's two different kinds of people in this world. But a sinner don't believe that. He believes that people who say they're saved and say they belong to God, they're just pretending and lying and putting on a show. They're all hypocrites. That's what they believe. And they can't believe it any other way, because they've never known any other way. And they've got a lot of the hypocrites in the church around God's people that they can point to prove that they're right about this. Because there are a lot of them in there. He's convinced that the whole world thinks just like he does. He's supremely selfish in everything he does, so he thinks everyone else is the same way. These people can always point to the hypocrites among God, people who really are just like him. And so in his mind, it confirms that he's right in thinking the way he does. There are people who cause all, these are the people who cause all this evil in the world. These are the people we just read about here. These people who said the hint to Hanan said, you think, do you really think that he's just trying to be nice to you? Yeah. He just sent that bunch in here to spy on you to figure out how to come in here and take everything from you. You fool. That's who we're talking about here. Yes. Those people are still among us everywhere. Yes. The world's still full of them. These are the people who cause all the evil in the world. They start wars between nations. Yes. They start wars between co-workers. Right. They start wars between family members and between church members. Mm-hmm. Yes, right. Same people. Yes, sir. Better be careful about trying to show kindness to these kind of people. I'm not saying you shouldn't show kindness. I'm not saying that David was wrong in showing kindness to these people. But I'm just saying you better be careful how you do it. There was never, you know, in this instance, it caused a war between nations that involved other nations also, and it cost more than 40,000 lives and untold destruction of property. David hold all the horses. I mean, he went down there and they got a shellacking like they never had over this. Just trying to be nice and friendly and kind. And this is what it came to because of the people, the kind of people that I've just described to you. And you know what's sad about it is if you read the rest of this chapter in the story, the Ammonites, when they saw that David was going to, I mean, that David wouldn't, and I'm getting ahead of myself again here, but David wouldn't fight you if you cursed him. Shimei cursed him as he left Jerusalem in shame when Absalom did. He said, let him curse me. David never fought for his own honor, but he had to fight for the honor of other people. What they did to these men on David's account, it matters. That's right. Jesus didn't defend himself, but you better be careful messing with his bride.
Yes, sir.
Because he will get you. He's not going to sit still for those who dishonor and abuse his bride. It was all started when David only tried to show kindness to an old enemy of Israel. And there was never a threat that Israel would take the land of the Ammonites because God had forbidden them to do that. Mm-hmm. In Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 19, God said to them back then, when they were still in the wilderness, he said, when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them. For I will not give thee the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. God told them from the very beginning, you leave them alone. You're not getting their land. I've given that land to them for a possession. Their children of Lot. Leave them alone. Don't meddle with them. Just leave them alone. So, there was never any threat. David ain't going to go against God's word and go down there and take over the land of Ammon. The Ammonites, it was all a fabricated basis for hatred and fear. Now they were kin. They just hated the Israelites, though. The Ammonites did. For no just reason. The Ammonites, they were kin to them. Because they were the descendants of Lot, Abraham's nephew. So this happens in families. If there was anything David did wrong here, it was simply to meddle with them. Maybe he should have just sent, maybe he shouldn't have just done anything when Nahash died. So what's the lesson for us here in this story from the life of David? Well, let me just give you a few little things here and then we'll be done. First of all, be knowledgeable and aware of the minds of sinners and how they work. I mean, we were all once there. We ought to be able to understand it. We all know so many people, and after you've lived long enough, you ought to, just by simply observing, you ought to figure some things out.
Yeah.
How they think.
Yeah.
What they're going to think. If I say this, do this, if I send this, if I think about the other side and how they're looking at this thing. Think about it. Have some knowledge about it. Study about it. Don't think that they're going to understand things like you do. Don't think that they're going to see it like you do. They're not going to. Realize that sometimes your kindness is going to be interpreted as evil. Mm-hmm. You ever been kind to somebody and they accuse you of evil? I have, yes sir. More than one time too. Had the same thing happen to me. Wish I'd understood these things then. Let me tell you something. If someone hates you, you may need to be very careful about how you show kindness to them. Now David could have sent a personal letter instead of a delegation of men. I believe that might have made a big difference.
Yeah.
If Haman would have just got a letter from David, with David's signature and David's king stamp on it and everything, just then I'm sure I'm sorry about your dad. He was kind to me and I appreciate it. And I assure you that things will go on just like that. Don't you reckon that might have come out different than a delegation of Israelites marching into the land of Ammon? But David did it the highway, you know. You know, don't get too big for your britches. Don't get too high-stepping. Don't get too fancy with everything. And don't have to have it shown before everybody. You know, consider not only the person you're trying to show kindness to, consider what they will think, but also consider what most of the evil people around him might think and suggest to him. If you're going to show kindness to somebody that hates you, you better take into account the people around him and what they're going to say about it to him. Because the people around him, if he hates you, chances are they do too. And so you got to take all that into account. Don't just think about what he's going to think. Think about what those around him are going to think. And if a person who does not hate you, but has people around him who do hate you, it'd be wise of you to consider how they're going to interpret your attempt to show kindness. See, this Haman might not have reacted this way had it not been for those people around him. He might have reacted completely different.
Yep.
But you got to take into account the influence of other people.
Yep.
Now, kindness will be much better received if it's done in private, in a private manner instead of a public manner. Like I said, the letter would have if he just sent a letter privately, there wouldn't have been, the others wouldn't even have known about it. And with a letter, they couldn't have accused him of trying to spy on him. What would they have had to accuse David of? How could they have made anything out of this? But David did it in a public way. In a, you know, kingly way, if you will. I mean, sent a delegation of men. He sent his servants over there. Handpicked. You know, and it's just been among nations, a rule of thumb forever. Everybody's always abided by this, that ambassadors and things like that, men who represented the government, they were protected. You didn't abuse them. You know, they didn't go in there armed. They went in there as ambassadors, as messengers from the king, with a message of peace and comfort. And they were abused. You know, violated basic human moral understanding, you know, between one another. You just don't do that. There's some things you just don't do. They did it, and oh my. Bad deal. So, but kindness will be a lot better received if it's done in private. Just, that's a rule that applies every which way. I mean, you just keep that in mind. You're better off doing things quietly. God said that if you give in secret, not let your left hand know what your right hand does, God will reward you openly. If you're going to pray, don't go out there in front of everybody and put on such a deal. Go to your closet and pray.
Yes.
in secret. And your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. If you're going to give, don't do it in front of everybody so everybody can see. If you do it that way, verily I say unto you, you have your reward. If you're going to show kindness to somebody, do it privately. It'll be much better received. It'll work much better. If you do it publicly, they just can't help but think you're doing it so all, for all these other eyes. And they're probably right. They got good reason to think that. It takes the suspicion away, any suspicion that you're doing it to be seen of other people. Sometimes it'd be better just not to meddle with people who have avowed themselves your enemy. They vowed to hate you for the rest of their life. The best thing to do is just stay away from them. Leave them alone. You'll have a much better chance of changing their hatred towards you by just doing right and living right and leaving them alone. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And what I've found out is that sometimes the only way you can live peaceably with some people is to stay away from them.
That's right.
You try to show them kindness, it's going to be a fight. You're going to start a war. And a war has casualties. A war causes damage. Think of that before you go to preaching this high religion of being just love everybody. And if you just love them, they'll understand. Don't give me that baloney. The Bible's too full of that, that it's not true. Right here, we just read about it. You better think of the damage you can cause by trying to be kind. What do you want to be kind for? Does your own reputation mean that much to you that you just got to do something? Is that, well, that's pride. When you boil it all down, that's your personal pride. Real kindness is wanting, is when you want the best good for everybody. And sometimes the best good for everybody is to leave them alone. Because you meddle with them. You know, it's like them little boys over at camp that time in Virginia. And when I went out there and I heard all that commotion at camp time, little boys like this, and there was a big hornet's nest across the creek, about as far as from here to that wall back here where Jacob's sitting. And they was throwing rocks at that hornet's nest as hard as they could throw them. And I went down there and I said, you boys are going to... I mean, what if they'd have hit that thing? They was fixing to stir up a hornet's nest. And then, hey, you talk about hurting. That's what I'm talking about here. Sometimes you just stir up trouble.
Yes, sir.
Most of the time, that's what you do. If it's somebody that's vowed to hate you, they're your vowed enemy. If you're going to show them kindness, you better do it in a subtle, private way where they cannot turn it around and use it against you or stir up trouble to cause other people to get hurt. You know who got killed in all this? The Syrians. The Ammonites ran at the first battle. When they saw the Syrians were in trouble, when Joab went, they took off. And then the Syrians come back to fight them again, fight Israel again, and 40,000 of their men were killed. While the Ammonites sit back in their tents. They're just people like that. They just stir up the trouble and then run. So don't be foolish in trying to give kindness, trying to show kindness to people like that. If we do not heed the wisdom in these words, we may find ourselves in a position of having to defend the honor of someone else at a great cost. David didn't fight or resist those who hated him, or cursed him personally. His personal offense was not a reason for David to fight. But he couldn't be right at all and not defend the men that he had sent to have so mistreated and shamed. He couldn't be right to just let that slide. Can't do that. I mean, you got to look to the future when you're dealing with issues like this. Like it or not. I know women have a hard time understanding this a little more than men do, but you just can't. There's a time to fight, just like the Bible says. This was a time to fight. David couldn't let this slide. There ain't no question about what we're going to do about this. But he wouldn't have been forced into that position if he hadn't shown kindness to this person. So you better be ready for that. I mean, you might have to fight for the honor of somebody else, because you might cause somebody else. See, David sent these other men. He didn't go. He sent them. And they're the ones that got mistreated. So we should show kindness to others, but we need to be wise in doing so. Because in our benevolent desire, we may cause more damage and destruction, and our kindness may be turned to defeat for others. You know, I mean, it's just something to think about here. These two chapters kind of go together. God put them right together, I think, for a lot of different reasons. But chapter 9, he showed kindness to Mephibosheth. That all turned out completely different. Yes. There was no destruction. Nobody died. Nobody was mistreated, shamed, or anything. It was a good deal. And then next, he tries to show kindness to a vowed enemy. And didn't turn out so well. Right. How do you think David felt after this? Reckon he learned some lessons? Oh, yeah. I'm sure he did. He had to learn, just like all of us have to learn. And that's why we have church, and we meet together, and we read the Word of God, and we preach, and we bring out these truths, and give wisdom to all of us, so that we can avoid some of these mistakes that other people have made. Think about it.
Amen.
Show kindness, but be careful.
Yes, amen.
Because this is a world full of sinners who call evil good and good evil. And David, this really affected him, because it's like I said, when I read Psalm there, the Psalm 109 there in the beginning, that was just one of the verses. Six times the Bible says they've rewarded me evil for good. And David said it five out of the six times. It was David. He said they've rewarded me evil for good. I tried to do them good, and this is what they've done to me. Hatred for my love. Well, if you haven't got a taste of it yet in this life, you will, I promise you. And so remember these things, will you? Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's stand and let's sing something before we leave here. We're going to try to get our little chorus books together, but let's sing.
Sing something's coming up in the morning.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Once again I face Satan this morning, and I battled him all the day long. But in my weakness, God sent reinforcements, and by sundown I sang victory song.
Changing hand, and the sun's coming up.
All right. Now, you know I'm not telling you not to be kind. Don't you know that? Do it the right way. Amen. Amen. All right.